Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We're going to be talking about mental fluidal powers today. We're going to listen to some clips on the subconscious. We're going to review an idea that Billy talks about called the innermost creational personality, and we're going to talk about reincarnation. Edward Albert Meyer is an 80-year-old man. He lives in Switzerland in a place called Hinterschmidruti, which is about 45 minutes east of Zurich in the pine forests of northern Switzerland, in the mountains, in the snow-capped mountains of northern Switzerland. He grew up even farther north in an area called Bulac. And right around 1943, he had his first contacts with a man named Spoth. Spoth was an extraterrestrial human from a star system called the Pleiaren star system, which resides in one of the six other space-time configurations in our universe. There are seven different space-time configurations in our universe, and you could think of these basically like dimensions. These extraterrestrial humans have been to the Earth and have visited the Earth in the past. The man named Spoth was here to be Billy's mentor for the first 11 years of his life. In 1953, Billy met with the second mentor, a woman named Askett. Askett was from a parallel universe. There's another universe that's parallel to ours, adjacent to ours, called the Tao universe. Askett's people are called the Timmers. Askett came to the Earth in 1953 to pick up the next 11 years of mentorship of Billy's life. During that first meeting, they both went far below the Giza Plateau to a headquarters of a group of human beings called the Giza Intelligences, who had been interfering with the people of the Earth and using what are called telenotic impulses, as well as sectarian religious beliefs, in order to slow the evolution of the Earth peoples. Askett was here to mentor Billy for another 11 years. Billy's goal in life, his purpose, is to help speed up our evolution. His spirit form is very ancient. He's referred to as the universal prophet, I guess, because he's incarnated on other worlds. His spirit form, now we all have a spirit form. A spirit form is a fragment, a tell stock of the universal consciousness. It resides in the middle of your brain in an area called the superior colliculus and has tremendous powers. And one of the tremendous powers of the spirit form that we're going to talk about are these mental fluidal energies which charge things around you. The mental fluidal powers are these mental emanations, sometimes called swinging waves, that come from your thoughts and your feelings. Billy has written a whole book on the power of the thoughts. It is the nature of thoughts that by their might alone, every conceivable thing can come into fruition. So these swinging waves that come out from your thoughts contain the character of the human being and the movements of the consciousness. And these powers, they settle into your skeleton, most of all. That's why you should never be cremated, because you can make back connections to your skeleton from a previous life, and it helps your evolution. It's kind of a subconscious thing that goes on. But these mental fluidal powers, they emanate from the mental swinging waves of your thoughts, and they're deposited into objects around you like books and clothing and jewelry. And the longer these things surround the person, the more intensively they will be charged. So it's good if you can find a home, a place you really like, and then stay there. Because the mental fluidal energies of your thoughts will absorb into the walls, into the furniture, into your clothing. Now, that doesn't mean you should be stopped from moving to a better place. I mean, I encourage that, to always try to improve yourselves, improve your surroundings. But it's just one thing to keep in mind. It's the same way with, I think, with relationships as well. Because these will also, I mean, constantly moving, constantly changing relationships, these can disrupt your mental fluidal waves. So stability is a good thing when it comes to your mental energies. These energies, they settle into the skeleton of your body, and the character of the human being is actually deposited into these objects around you. Your psyche, your feeling, your thoughts, they're actually deposited into the table that you're sitting at, the chair, your shirt. And these also will deposit into books. So if you have a particular book, like I have a book called The Mind of Thoughts, and a lot of energies of my own mental energies are stored in this book. So just picking up this book, I reconnect with these powers. So the human being can perceive these powers in a fine, fluidal way. And the same thing, if you enter into another house, some other place, you can sense these fine, fluidal powers. I can remember being a child, and I would always do that. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea. But I could go to a house and just feel, oh, this oppressing weight. Couldn't wait to get out of there. By the same token, on the flip side, you may have a sweatshirt or something that you put on and you immediately feel good. That's because you've had that shirt on during good times in your life when you were thinking in a positive way. And these positive energies, they surround the human being and they create what's like your own world. They provide a sense of security. I wonder if it's the same way with pets. You kind of get this connection to pets, because animals and plants have fluidal powers associated with them, and the animal fluidal powers come from their instincts very much. So these positive fluidal energies, they can have a positive effect or a negative effect. So when a person enters a house, as I said before, they can feel attracted or instinctively repelled. And the swinging waves, they deposit themselves into the walls and the beams of a house. They build up in clothing. The longer these things are around you, the more they're charged by your mental energies. Jewelry is the same way. I don't wear any except for a watch. But if you have a ring, the rings can absorb these fluidal energy, so be careful about that. If you get a ring from someone else, you might be absorbing their energies. Bones that have been chewed by animals can have the fluidal energies of the animal that did the chewing. There is a concept called back connection, which is the connection back to an earlier life. From what I can tell, it's mostly subconscious. The more balanced a person is, the stronger is your own fluidal power, and the stronger is your protection. The more labile or unstable a person is, the more they are impacted by negative swinging waves. So you have a fluidal immune system, which can become weak, and the fluidal power surrounds the human being like their own world. And this mental fluidal energy has a connection back to earlier lives. So you can also back connect to things or even problems. And you can draw mental problems to yourself that existed in a previous life or that were not resolved. And the skeleton from the previous life contains fluidal powers associated with that previous life. So it's important to keep your skeleton intact. Do not allow yourself to be cremated, because that skeleton contains all the stored up fluidal energies from the previous life. And you can subconsciously back connect to those energies, which can really help improve your evolution. It's critical, from what Michael Uterbrock was saying. This information that I'm giving to you today comes from one of Billy's books that's being translated by a guy in Canada named Michael Uterbrock. And if you search for mental fluidal powers in YouTube, you should be able to find it. It's a tremendous YouTube video that Michael Uterbrock has made. And he's put some really nice music, which makes it even easier to listen to. And you can listen to it in the background while you do other things, and you'll slowly start to pick up these things in your subconscious. But we make a back connection. You can even make a back connection to a problem, and you can draw mental problems to yourself that existed in previous lives and were not resolved. Your skeleton contains your buried skeleton contains the fluidal powers associated with the previous life. Like I said, and a person can draw on the power and the information from that previous life. And old memories can be released from the storage banks, depending on the efforts of your own consciousness. Remember, there are universal storage banks that store information associated with everyone's actions and thoughts. There's a planetary storage bank. There's a storage bank associated with our galaxy and our solar system. And impulses are stored in these storage banks for practically eternity, for time periods we can't even imagine. And as long as you need these impulses, they will strike you over and over and over again. And it's the subconscious many times that picks up on this. And you may need some evolutive help in some area. And the back connection can allow the human being to draw subconscious information out of the past. And you can get relief from issues by this back connection. So much of these back connections are subconscious. And the human being always has multiple back connections to previous lives. And the impulses from the previous life can be held in the storage banks for a long, long time. And they can strike you over and over again. And sometimes these back connections are very important. Let's just say that. Much of what looks like spiritual apparitions are people's fluidal energies being activated. And we'll talk about that. And remember, do not cremate yourself on death. Keep the skeleton in the ground. I wonder if some of these gigantic coffins are also bad too, because they cut you off from the earth. I think it'd probably be better if we just put our skeletons right in the ground. Let me move on though. I want to talk about these apparitions. People talk about ghosts and things like that. All apparitions are nothing but mental fluidal powers, which have been made mobile by a subconscious or an unconscious person, thinking of a person. And typically the person's not aware at all that they are creating these apparitions. This process takes place consciously or unconsciously. For example, in the United States at about 4 p.m. every afternoon, a ghost of a child of a 10-year-old girl would appear. And the child would sing and walk around the house, and she would go into the garden. But actually, what was happening is there was an older lady that lived there, and about every day at about 4 p.m., she would take a nap. And during that nap, a strong memory of her childhood would occur. And she would dream that she was living in the house as a young girl. And the ghost was actually the mental fluidal powers of the old lady. And these powers had been stored in the house over the years. And in Billy's home in Switzerland, in Hinterschmidruti, there was a shadowy figure that would dart around the house and end up making noise in the attics. These were just fluidal powers stored in the house. And the more labile, unstable a person is, the more easily aroused they are, the more likely these kinds of things can happen. There's really, it's difficult to get rid of these fluidal energies. Sometimes water and fire will do it, but that will just mess up your house, of course. Fluidal energies versus pure thought swinging waves. There's a difference there. The pure thought swinging waves arise from the thoughts. The fluidal energies arise out of the entire mental block. Keep that in mind. Another thing to be aware of is churches and monasteries can store negative fluidal powers. Stay away from churches and monasteries if you can. It would be interesting. I have a musical thing I have to do in a church. I hope I do not get influenced by any negative fluidal energies. Churches and monasteries are places where these kinds of swinging waves and fluidal powers are stored. Negative energies can be stored in these churches for many years, centuries. These fluidal energies are stored in monasteries. People go in there and they're, you know, they have very, like funerals, all the negative energies that come out from a funeral stored in these structures for centuries. And these energies can be overpowering to people that are oriented to the truth. And you can be actually damaged by energy stored in these blocks. And Billy was almost killed when he entered into an old monastery in Switzerland. So, makes me concerned. I am going to switch gears a little bit. I think I'll go ahead and play some of these clips, which I thought were interesting. Hi, Chris, from the chat room. Guest 153. Let me see if I can play. There's some interesting clips here. This first one is by Dr. Joseph Murray. And we'll listen to that.
Conscious reasoning mind is suspended, and your subconscious is amenable to suggestion. And then he suggested to you that you were the President of the United States. Your subconscious would accept the statement as true. Your subconscious does not reason, choose, or differentiate, as does your conscious mind. You would assume all the airs of importance and dignity that you believe to be the legitimate concomitant of that position. If you were given a glass of water and told you were drunk, you would play the role of a drunkard to the best of your ability. If you told the psychiatrist that you were allergic to Timothy grass, and he placed a glass of distilled water under your nose, telling you at the same time that it was Timothy grass, you would generate all the symptoms of an allergic attack, and the physiological and physical reactions would be the same as if the water were actually Timothy grass. If you were told that you were a beggar on Skid Row, your demeanor would immediately change, and you would assume the attitude of humble suppliants with an imaginary tin cup in your hand. In short, you may be made to believe that you are anything, such as a statue, dog, soldier, or swimmer, and you will act the part suggested with amazing fidelity to the nature of the suggestion. Insofar as your knowledge extends of the characteristics of the thing that is suggested. Another important point to remember is that your subconscious mind always accepts the dominant of two ideas. That is, it accepts your conviction without question whether your premise is true or absolutely false. The modern scientific straight line thinker looks at God as the infinite intelligence within his subconscious mind. He doesn't care whether people call it the superconscious, unconscious, subjective mind, living spirit almighty, or whether they call this supreme intelligence Allah, Brahma, Jehovah, reality or spirit, or the all-seeing eye. The point is, it is there. It's within you. All the powers of the infant are within you. God is spirit, however, and the spirit has no face, form, or figure. It is timeless, spaceless, and eternal. The same spirit indwells every man. This is why Paul says that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. You're also told the kingdom of God is within you, the book of Luke. Yes, God is in your thought, your feeling, your imagination. In other words, the invisible part of you is God. God is the life principle in you, boundless love, absolute harmony, infinite intelligence. Knowing that you can contact this invisible power through your thought, strip the whole process of prayer from... Dr. Hans Selye at the University of Montreal's Institute of Experimental Medicine and Surgery has demonstrated the destructive effects of stress and strain, worry and anxiety on the general defense system of the body. He says if the mental stress which set the general defense system in motion is not of a temporary and passing nature, but persists week after week, the adrenal glands first attempt to adapt to the situation by increasing their output of hormones. But this plays havoc with various other processes not related to defense. The individual may develop arthritis or diabetes or any of the other so-called psychosomatic diseases. Inevitably, if the stress is continued beyond this general adaptation stage, the adrenal glands become exhausted. They change in color from yellow to brown. The stomach becomes spotted with ulcers. The resistance to cold and heat and to every kind of disease and injury collapses. And if the unfortunate individual does not fall victim to some infection, he will probably succumb to one of the heart, circulatory, or kidney diseases, which are today the greatest killers. Dr. Selye's work demonstrated that the defense system can effectively fight only one thing at a time. If in response to a mental tension caused by pain from a broken limb, for instance, it is set into action, it quickly organizes 100 specialized activities in addition to its general work to repair the fracture. But if in the middle of this repair work, another stress caused by fear, let us say, is introduced, we either quickly succumb to the first injury or to shock resulting from second stress, or the broken limb simply does not mend and has to be amputated. In the case of other diseases rather than fractures, healing is suspended and the diseases become chronic.
Hi, you're listening to Power Thoughts, Meditation Club, Power Affirmations. Imagine that all of these following affirmations are true for you. I love and accept myself. My mind has the power to create whatever I can conceive.
I open up to the magic.
The universe is full of beauty.
I am grateful.
I trust in the process of life.
And relax in every situation. I am grateful. I am grateful. Today, I will be at my best. Nothing can stop me.
I choose to be grateful for the joy of being me.
I accept and appreciate and love myself unconditionally.
I go with the flow with grace, and
I am a channel of peace and well-being.
I trust my intuition and I allow it to guide.
I am a creature. I always express myself from my peaceful and unconditionally loving heart.
I deserve the good in life.
I encourage peace in all my interactions with others.
My life is brilliant. My potential is boundless. I dare to be the best I can be. I am grateful.
I am joyful, spontaneous, and creative.
I feel centered in the peaceful, loving energy of my heart.
You are full of magnificent thoughts and ideas. You deserve to feel good.
I enjoyed those tapes. I had to share those with you. Those are different YouTubes. I like to take a little time every show to play a few clips of important things. Dr. Joseph Murphy, I just stumbled across today, had some very interesting ideas about the subconscious and the power of the mind. And the music in the tape you were just listening to there, that clip, is very interesting. Some affirmations put out on the internet. We'll maybe listen to those again in the future. Mental fluidal powers was what I started out the show with. And I want to shift gears now and talk a little bit about the innermost creational personality. We have an innermost creational personality that's related to our spirit form. Our spirit form is our spiritual consciousness. It's the part of us that never dies. Your spirit form, typical spirit form, I think is about 3 or 4 million years old on the earth here. That means you've been reincarnating over and over again. And each physical lifetime is for the purpose of learning and evolving. And one of the things that we need to remember to do is fulfill our duty to yourself. That means to be benevolent, benign, compassionate, no self-chastisement, no feelings of inferiority. Do not devote yourself to your lusts and your addictions. If you do, then you'll find yourself like a person trying to run or walk through the desert, smoldering, dying of thirst. Fulfill your duty to yourself. If you don't, then you even have suicidal thoughts. Fulfilling your duty to yourself means you take the time to bathe yourself and take the time to cut your fingernails and shave if you're a man, and shower, and time to work out, time to relax, challenge your body and your mind. You really have to be your own best friend, and that's what fulfilling your duty to yourself is all about. Your clothes speak for you. Never allow yourself to appear ragged. That's part of fulfilling your duty to yourself. And it's a challenge. It takes a fair amount of upkeep to do that sort of thing. And we talked a little about back connection at the beginning of the show. Typically, those back connections are subconscious, and it's very much a blessing to forget the failures of the past and to focus on what's going on in your current life with a new personality. Otherwise, we would have a devastating confusion that literally could drive us to the point of insanity. So forgetting is a protection for your consciousness. So if you've had bad things that have happened in the past, if you've had personal failures, things you wanted to go differently and they didn't turn out, just let them go. You have to learn to let those go. I talked about the innermost creational personality. And the innermost creational personality is that part of you that is your inner wisdom that guides you. And it sends you impulses to help you with your evolution. You have something called the ego or the false I that will work against your evolution. It's threatened by your evolution. It will try to complicate everything. And examine your feelings, because the feelings grow out of the thoughts. And if you start to have bad feelings, it indicates that you've had bad thoughts. And a lot of times the thoughts occur so quickly, we do not realize that they've happened. And this is the danger of automatic thoughts. And it's the automatic thoughts that are the critical point, because through them, your feelings are disturbed, and then also your psyche can become disturbed. So remember to always steer your thoughts. And you can remember this: I steer and nurture and strengthen good thoughts. And by steering my good thoughts, I bring inner freedom. I'm like a captain that steers a ship. I do not allow my ship to drift. I do not allow automatic thoughts to come into my mind, because these automatic thoughts tend to disturb the psyche, and they create negative feelings. Therefore, tell yourself, I am the master of my own destiny. I create good circumstances in my life through neutral, positive thinking. And what are neutral, positive thoughts? I am confident. I'm optimistic. I'm relaxed. I'm cheerful. I'm thankful. I'm in harmony. I'm enthusiastic. I persevere. I persist. I endure. I am calm. I am satisfied. And very importantly, I have hope. So remember, your consciousness is like a garden, a luxurious green garden filled with growing very healthy, large plants. And do not allow the weeds to appear in your garden. If they do, pluck them up. Destroy those negative thoughts. Otherwise, they will repeat and repeat and create a kind of tyranny that exists. And it's your ego, your inner I, not your innermost creational personality, but your false ego, that tries to create a tyranny over your innermost creational personality, and that's the repeating thoughts that rotate again and again and again and again. If you got to go take a drive, take a walk, meditate, listen to music, whatever it takes, go back in your mind to a time when it could be an experience that happened really recently that's very pleasant and pleasurable to you. Because the self-created personality is associated with your material consciousness. Remember that we all have a spiritual consciousness and a material consciousness. The material consciousness is who you are in this lifetime. It includes your conscious mind, your subconscious mind, and your unconscious mind. Now, this subconscious mind and unconscious mind that we've been talking about today have a tremendous power. And evidently, the subconscious is very programmable, and it's very influenceable. And that's why, if you remember these things, like just tell yourself, I'm confident and I'm optimistic, then you can break yourself out of this negative rotating thoughts, because your false ego tends to complicate everything. It makes things more difficult. It makes things more complicated than they are. Creates a tyranny in your consciousness. And sometimes just take the time to contemplate a moment of gladness, which includes maybe you see snowflakes floating down or a sunbeam or a beautiful sunny summer day where all the trees and the green plants are around and you see a bird twittering on the limb of a tree or a flower. These are moments of happiness, harmony, that you need to place these in your consciousness, in the inner part of your consciousness. Focus on these moments, these Augenblick in the German. It's a moment of gladness. So don't allow the mass of modern humanity and the way it's all the society now has functioned to take away your peace, and it's being done on purpose. There are religious organizations, there are secret services that are using things like television to manipulate people. And most of the message in television is designed to bring you in to focus on sex or on violence, on to these lower level thoughts. And not only that, these televisions can look at you. Sometimes they have devices in them. So all of this is fighting to steer your thoughts, to affect people's behavior in a negative way. And Billy's even talked about his own writings being affected by these impulses. So it's a strange thing that's going on now. The global elite want to create a microchip population that has no freedom of thought, that has no freedom of movement, that does not have the right to bear arms. So we have to be aware of this. We need to, first of all, gain control of our own thoughts, to steer our own thinking so it is neutral, positive at all time. Remember, the power of the thoughts come out of the universe itself. When our spirit form comes into the body, it comes in 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, and it brings in it, with it, the subconscious, the unconscious, the conscious, the new personality. But programmed into your subconsciousness are the evolutive values of your previous life in your spirit form, which resides in the middle of your brain in the superior colliculus, has also all the evolutive powers and knowledge from all of your previous lives. And we have these great two sources of wisdom, one stored in the subconscious, another stored in the spirit form, as well as the universal storage banks filled with information that we can get impulses from, and we can make subconscious back connections to our previous lives, particularly if there are skeletons that are stored in the ground. So we have much support, but they're not really obvious. So people unfortunately allow themselves to be steered unconsciously, which causes great discord on the earth. And this disharmonious music that's everywhere also does that. But keep in mind here, and I'll read a little bit from the Might of Thoughts about our two personalities. There are two personalities that live in the human being during his life. One is called the inner nature, the ego, which the human being creates according to his or her ideas and guidelines. This nature, this ego, is always demanding, calculating, hysterical, garrulous. It's equipped with all the unvalues which guarantee the human being a way of life according to his own laws and recommendations, and not according to the laws and recommendations of the universe. And let's go over this real quick. The creational natural law first is love. And this is reverence. We're talking about respect. Love is the highest principle in all creation, And through it, everything exists in absolute logic. So there's an absolute logic to the way creation has set everything up. Love is the highest power in all creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. So there's an absolute logic in the relationships between all things. The incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. And this is very important as well, because creation radiates love. And we should come up against the radiating love of creation always. And if we have a fine sensitive ability to recognize this radiating love, which we do, it's buried within us. It might take some time to wake up. But if you go into nature, if you contemplate nature, this will also help you experience this. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. So you might understand this intuitively, that your puppy or your kitten is programmed with love. It's what they operate on. Eventually, you know, through the interactions of nature, there's the prey relationships. There's lions and there's wolves and things that have to kill to eat. And this is part of the imperfection of creation. You see, there is no heavenly father in the way that the religions teach. There is an energy, a super intelligence, sometimes referred to in the German as the Wesenheiten, which is the driving force behind all the evolution in our universe. It's a spiritual energy. It doesn't create a heaven or a hell. It does not really even require anything from the human being. It doesn't issue you commandments. It is this neutral spiritual energy that is evolving. And the purpose of your life is to evolve in wisdom. And that's why you have this spirit form in the middle of your brain there, because it's through many, many lifetimes and through 7 evolutionary steps, it evolves in each one of these lifetimes to bring wisdom back to creation after it finishes many millions and millions of years of evolution. Now, we also have something called the we form here on the earth, which is the subconscious connections of earth human beings. And unfortunately, this subconscious we form sometimes will pull in false information, like it will pull in this idea of this heavenly father. Look, go up on top of a building. I don't really do this, but if you had 100 people go up on top of a building, every single one would jump off and everyone jumped off and died. There would be no heavenly father that would intervene to stop that. A father will do anything to save its child, even violate its free will in order to do that. We have something different operating in our universe, and our current religions do not explain what is happening in reality. They are confusions associated with our histories, particularly when there were extraterrestrial humans here. And this is where we got the idea of angels, of a quote, personified God, of demons and all these things. They do not exist. They are not real. What's real is the power of your thinking. And there is a universal intelligence, but it's not Heavenly Father. It has created laws, creational natural laws. And we talked about the law of love. Well, there's also the law of striving, which is critical. Striving means you have to work. Striving is your work to evolve your awareness levels, your intelligence. It's also the work that you perform to survive. It's the organization that you bring to your life. And developing good habits is part of your striving. And because good thoughts lead to good feelings lead to good habits, and good habits lead to good circumstances in your life. So striving is one of your habits. Having a time period for yourself to study is very, very important. And I will read a little bit from The Way to Live about striving. The creation itself, as well as all its creatures, are imbued with the power of striving. In order to attain success, the future, progress, and that which is higher, striving is the power of the spiritual as well as the physical. And striving is an incontrovertible creational law. In order to reach through incessant evolution that which is higher and absolutely completely developed. So I tell people, if you are depressed, if you're going through a time which for some reason you cannot shake this feeling of depression or you've lost hope, well, it could be that you are in a time of your life that's going to require you to do incredibly a lot of striving. I have gone through that in my life where I've had to work so hard I just didn't think I could work any harder. And I think we all have these periods. So your striving creates your sense of life. If you have no sense of life right now, if you're suffering in a situation like that, focus on your striving. And you, it may mean cleaning out your garage, whatever you got to do. Focus on your striving. Take breaks in order to maintain your neutral positive thinking. That's the other creational natural law. It's called the law of harmony, which means we should have neutral positive thoughts. That means that we're confident, we're optimistic, we're relaxed, we're cheerful, we're thankful, we're enthusiastic, we're in harmony, and we have hope because of controlling our thoughts. Because your thoughts have such a tremendous power. It's not your own power. This is not your own power. This is power that comes from the universe itself. Page 102 from the book called The Psyche. The power that the thinking uses as an impetus does not stem from the human being himself or herself. It streams in the spirit and from there into the consciousness, coming out of the unmeasurable expanses of space. So you have incredible power. All you have to do is tap into it. Learn these ideas of neutral positive thinking. It takes a lot of discipline, takes a lot of practice, but if you take the effort to clarify your thoughts, repeat them to yourself. And I do it all the time. I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic. It will break this negative repeating problems that you have. Remember, human beings were in many ways like the waves of the sea. We're part of something bigger. And our thinking is connected subconsciously to this we form that I was talking about earlier. So your good positive thinking can affect people, maybe people that you never come in direct contact with. Striving creates your life. To be without striving means you're going to be with affliction. So don't inhibit your striving, because it will lead to confusion, irrationality, joylessness, cognitionless. Striving is critical. Remember, there will also be things which work against your striving. And it's part of the creational natural law that there's always a plus and a minus. So be ready for that as well. If you lose your sense of striving, you will lose your sense of life. To strive means you make great efforts to achieve something. The creation in all the Wesenheiten strive. Striving is the power of the spiritual, the physical, as well as the physical. It's a creational law. lack of striving leads to something in the Maya information called the anti-logos, something I don't know that much about, but it's a concept that's talked about in one of Billy's books. And the anti-logos is the child of evil, the child of ruin. It's the opposition of knowledge. It seems like society today is functioning under this anti-logos. So if you can no longer strive, you will feel like you're no use to anything. So it's really interesting. Striving is the nature of the human being. What does Billy say? Let me read something that Billy says here. This should be related to what we're talking about. About that which I would like to hear your professional view lies in the following question. Can you tell me in short and simple words how stress and physical inactivity, as well as various types of music, affect life itself, the quality of life, and the life period of the human being? Indeed, we've often privately spoken about this. Billy's talking to Patah at this point. Patah says, as it is well known to you, a stressful mode of life, not only due to work overload, but also in every other respect, in the physical movement of inactivity, as well as jealousy, strife, grief, hatred, and discord, has an effect very badly on the entire body, and even rather maliciously. Chronic illnesses can come from this. So we have to focus on striving. I talked a little bit about Billy's spirit form, which is 9.6 billion years old. He's referred to as sometime the universal prophet. Some of his previous incarnations included the people today that we call Enoch, a man named Semyasa, which I believe is the guy that actually physically mated with an earth woman, produced an Adam. We have four people named Henoch, Eliah, people today that we call Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, Muhammad, Aristotle, Socrates, all previous lives, Edward Albert Meyer, Johann Georg Faust, Galileo Galilei, Mozart. Mendelssohn was another previous life of Edward Albert Meyer. A guy named Rasputin, 1869, was a Russian peasant, a mystical faith healer, a friend of the Tsar of Russia. Rasputin is mentioned in Contact Report 487, one of the lesser known previous lives of Edward Albert Meyer. Probably very interesting, this question, and this is a question. Did Rasputin really lead a dissolute life as is portrayed these days? Rasputin, the answer is Rasputin did not lead a dissolute life as been attributed to him. The story is malicious slander. However, it is true that his murder could barely have been surpassed in terms of its brutality when in 1916 he was murdered by a certain kind of pistol a British agent used against him. He was married, had a family. He was an itinerant monk, that is to say, an itinerant preacher who, through suggestive influence, carried out miraculous healings, which were truly self-healings of the sick. And that's one of another important thing we should keep in mind is you have tremendous powers for your own healing. If you can use the power of thinking, you can harness that and focus on neutral, positive thoughts. And by neutral, positive thoughts, you can very much help your own healing. If you can focus on neutral positive thinking. And we have to nurture those neutral positive thoughts. So it takes a special kind of continuous thinking to do that. You need to learn neutral positive thinking, independent thinking. Do not allow the TV and the newspapers to overly influence you. Thinking in a neutral, positive way is critical. But it means, in neutral, positive thinking, also means that both the negative and the positive are brought together. And you always remember those are the two powers that belong together, the neutral and the positive, the negative and the positive. Don't try to remove the negative from your life. Be very careful. If you go down that path, if you go to war against the negative, you'll go into asartang. You'll be out of control. You'll go into all sorts of negative circumstances in your life. You need to clarify your thoughts, make them easier to understand, remove the ambiguity, get rid of the anxiety. Make an effort, practice this, and this leads to the harmonious life. Try to eliminate the impure thoughts in your life, useless negative impure thoughts, eliminate them. Emmanuel, boy, there's a whole nother show. First of all, the letter J didn't exist in the ancient world. So the names Jesus, Job, John, James, all these names were different in the ancient world. James and John were practically unpronounceable. They began with a Y. If you look at the 1611, which is pretty late in the game, actually, 1611 version of the Bible, the name Jesus isn't in there. The name is I-E-S-U-S or I-E-S-V-S. The Meyer information says his name was Emmanuel, and he didn't create the universe. His father wasn't the creator of the universe, but he was one of these fantastic prophets. And the whole line of prophets that I was just talking to you about, Socrates, Aristotle, Mendelssohn, Mozart, Galileo, all these teachers are the same spirit form, the one that's 9.6 billion years old. Emmanuel said, everything within the human beings must die, but everything in the creation within them must rise and embrace creation. Everything within you that is related to this neutral positive telstock, this fragment, as it's called operationally, a fragment of the universal consciousness, is what remains. So your psychical state, your turmoil, your imbalance, or your harmony depends on your thinking, depends on you. You are responsible for your own thinking. And because through your thinking, eventually, you control the circumstances of your life. And your consciousness, again, is like a garden. And if you're not maintaining it properly. Boy, I can remember just a few years ago how my consciousness was not maintained. At least it's not as well as it is now, because I would struggle against wildly growing negative thoughts, the confusing and destructive thoughts. I still fight against them. They still appear sometimes. But these wildly growing thoughts, they're just like destructive weeds in your garden. If you allow them to animate, they'll create a life of their own, just like plants. Well, we've got about 90 seconds left on the stream. I appreciate all you folks that listen to these shows. The interest is astounding, the number of people that are listening to these shows. Thank you. All of us together change the world, make it a better place. The power of thinking is amazing. You are the master of your own destiny. You create good positive circumstances in your life by good neutral thinking. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.